Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
And running, Larry Kruger sitting in for Damon Bruce on this Friday with Ray Ratto. Hope everybody's having a great week, getting ready for the weekend. Niners, Buccaneers go on Sunday. We got Warriors, Celtics on Saturday. We've got the Giants doing well. Are the Giants going to do anything? coming out of the winter meetings. Steve Kerr's going to join us tonight at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation. Good afternoon, Ray.
Hi, Dad.
How you doing?
You forgot Morocco and Portugal tomorrow, and then England, France.
There you go. England, France, very anticipated game. Did you watch Brazil today? You probably did.
Oh, I watched them both. They were phenomenal. I hate penalty shootouts, and those games were great anyway.
I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm not a big soccer head. I'm not a big football fan, but I'm enjoying it. And but man, the off the crossbar in Croatia gets a win today over Brazil. And were the Brazilians more crushed today, Ray, losing to Croatia, a team that they should have beaten, or were they more crushed when Germany just ripped their heart out in the World Cup years ago?
I think they were probably more crushed today because while Germany, it was a semifinal, but Germany was a mighty side. Croatia is the team that you never think is going to beat you, but they're like roaches. You can't kill them. And so they just hung around and hung around. They scored a goal really late in extra time and then won the shootout. And, it's a huge thing for them. I think Brazilians are more bothered by this one than getting routed by Germany.
You know, it is so funny, though, because when we were talking in the green room there about this, I thought when Brazil lost to Germany and they went down and, it was the second goal and the third goal, and just to see the true devastation on the faces of the fans was just incredible to see. We use that word so often, our announcers do. Oh, the fans were devastated, or this was a devastating defeat. And in reality, more times than not, they're talking about, NBA game 46 of 82, and there's no, they're totally overstating it. Of devastation was, though, when Brazil lost to Germany. That was devastation.
Well, when you lose by a touchdown in soccer,
that's not good.
That's not good.
That's not good.
But, no, this one I think is going to sting more because even though Croatia got to the final last year, they're not Germany. Not in terms of, players produced, not in terms of international reputation. I mean, it's conceivable you could a team could lose to Germany 7-1, but for Brazilians, it's inconceivable that they lose to Croatia in the quarterfinal.
I know. Unbelievable. So,
and by the way, the advantage of this topic, other than the fact that it's making Nahigian nuts,
right. He's going
is that
there.
We haven't Ow. Said the name of the 49ers' third starting quarterback.
That's right. Brock Purdy.
The longer
goes,
we can, the longer we can put that off, the better.
Yeah. Well, we're going to stop right here. Brock Purdy goes Sunday against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I spent the last 2 days in Santa Clara inside the Niner locker room. You would never know that they are on their third quarterback. You would never know that history says they have no chance to win the Super Bowl or even go to the Super Bowl. You would never know that because the confidence in the room around Brock Purdy is legit. I mean, I didn't just go in there. I went in there. I talked to Debo. I talked to Ayuk. I talked to like three or four other guys. Aaron Banks, to a man, Dre Greenlaw. They're touting the toughness, the focus, the intensity of Brock Purdy. And I'll go as far as to say this, and I really believe this. I watched all of minicamp. I watched all of training camp. I'm watching more practice than I care to watch. Brock Purdy is and has been the 49ers' most accurate quarterback. He is and has been the 49ers' smartest quarterback. I really believe that if you just go by the actions of Kyle Shanahan and how he handled Trey, how he's handled Jimmy, how he's handled Purdy, I think Shanahan trusts Purdy more than he trusts those guys. What do you think?
Maybe, but he's still a seventh-round pick.
Yep.
He still has his own flaws. And the 49ers actually are not going to win or lose because of him anyway, unless he throws four picks. He can only lose a game for him by being terrible. But if he's okay, that team's going to that game's going to be won based on, you know, can they run the ball? Can they defend? Because those are their strengths. The Tampa Bay, just to talk about this weekend, they're a much better team against the pass than they are against the run. So what do you think is going to happen? Kyle Shanahan's going to run the ball. He's going to run it as much as he can. And the defense, you know, they're handling probably one of the weakest teams that Tom Brady's ever led. So I think Brock Purdy is much ado about not a whole lot, to be honest with you, in terms of whether they're going to win or lose. And ultimately, that's what they grade you on.
There's a writer in the Bay Area that people don't talk about a lot, but I think he's really, really damn good. And he wrote a piece today. Oh,
what's his name?
Jerry McDonald.
Oh, he stinks.
I know you've known him forever. Jerry McDonald wrote a great piece about how Brock Purdy has developed and how he, you know, during the whole draft process, you know, they basically added 5 miles an hour of velocity to his passes. And it took me back to, like, when I watch his college film, I didn't see a quarterback that I thought could make it in the NFL. I saw a diminutive guy that threw too soft of a pass, but they worked with his mechanical adjustments and they found that his backstroke was elongated and his front arm had too much movement and he wasn't activating his glutes. Tiger Woods, thank you.
You know way too much about that. If that's where you're going with this, you know,
activating
go
glutes.
Take a walk, buy a dog, learn to knit something.
He created too much elbow extension and elbow flexation as he brought his arm up. They made mechanical adjustments. They got him to throw the ball with greater velocity. This guy is letting it rip in short windows, and he's incredibly accurate. But to me, what speaks so loudly is the 37 pass attempts last week. He was 25 of 37 for 210, two touchdowns and a pick, and his snap to throw time was 2.67 seconds. That was like the fastest in the league among all quarterbacks last week. So the ball's coming out fast. It's coming out accurate. He sees the field. And I think Shanahan, there's only one way to. Shanahan's going to say, oh, I believe in Jimmy. Oh, I believe in Trey. He's going to say, never listen to what a guy says. Listen to what he does. Follow what he does. He can say what he wants. He threw the ball 37 times last week with his third-string quarterback. That shows a level of trust that he's never demonstrated with Trey. And I didn't look it up because I didn't have the time, but I would guess that Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't made 37 pass attempts more than once, maybe twice in his entire Niner career. So does, isn't that clear that Shanahan, despite the Mr. Irrelevant, despite the late seventh round pick, don't you think he's almost like basically told us that he trusts Purdy more than he trusts Jimmy?
No, I don't think we've learned anything about that, because they ran 79 offensive plays.
Right.
They had the ball for 40 minutes. I think, you know, I think it's as telling that the longest completion that Purdy had was 19 yards, which was shorter than any other starting quarterback that this past weekend. I don't think he trusts him yet, because I don't think he knows what he's got yet. He can't possibly. I mean, he wasn't getting a ton of reps before. So I think Purdy is the guy he trusts only because he doesn't have an option. You know, he spent the entire year essentially with one quarterback. It was Trey Lance, and then he gets hurt. It was Garoppolo, then he got hurt. Now it's Purdy. I mean, you know, I don't know that he trusts him or doesn't trust him. I think all we know is he's the guy they got until he gets hurt. And yeah, that's it. I mean, and I'm not trying to, you know, demythologize Purdy as much as saying Shanahan doesn't know any more than, well, he knows more than we do because we're morons, but he doesn't know what he's got. And that's why I think you're going to see a lot of running plays on Sunday.
You know,
because it just, everything about this point.
You think it's going to be a run-heavy plan against Tampa?
Yeah, because Tampa's a below-average team against the run, and they're very much above-average against the pass. So why would you want your third-string quarterback, no matter how much you may love him, to throw into the teeth of that when you've got the better part of your offensive attack facing the worst part of their defense?
It is interesting because Antoine Winfield's got an ankle. They're saying he didn't practice today. Mike Edwards, the safety at a Kentucky, hamstring injury, didn't practice today for the Bucs. So there's a chance that Bucs could be without their two top safeties. Does that change the equation into more of a pass-happy approach? Because to me, I'm not sure what we're going to see, honestly, Ray, because of those two injuries. Who knows? Maybe they'll try to carve them up with the pass.
But I think you're assuming that Kyle Shanahan would rather pass than run.
I think our evidence
is that he would rather run than pass. Because if you run the ball well, you get to keep the ball for 40 minutes like they did last week. And that means your defense can't possibly get tired because it's not on the field long enough to get tired. And when the 49er defense isn't tired, they're terrorists. So I just don't see how Shanahan's going to go against all the things he believes with a third string quarterback as his guiding light. It runs counter to everything we've seen from him. It runs counter to everything that the Bucs do well and do poorly. And it runs counter to the notion that you want to put your offensive game plan more in the hands of your quarterback than you do the running back that you traded 900 draft choices to get.
I believe we're going to have a surprise guest bottom of the hour. We're going to take a timeout right here. We're sponsored by Bed Bath & Beyond. I heard Dante Whitner say earlier this week, the 49ers, in his opinion, have a better shot to reach the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy than Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll throw that to Ray coming up next as we keep it rolling on a Friday. Larry Kruger in for Damon Bruce on this Friday on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Hope everybody's having a great Friday. Larry Kruger sitting in for Damon Bruce, who's getting a little off day. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk with our mystery guest, but we're talking a little 49ers right now. And if you want to chime in, feel free. The text line, the Xfinity mobile text line, 1-888-957-9570. If you want to jump in, Brock Purdy's starting against Tom Brady on Sunday. Wouldn't it be ironic if Brock Purdy beats Tom Brady on Sunday in his first NFL start? I think Kyle Shanahan trusts Purdy more than he trusts Garoppolo. I think Purdy's the most accurate quarterback they have. I think he sees the field the best. I think he probably is the smartest quarterback. I think Shanahan knows a lot about quarterbacking, and I think he sees what I see. But Dante Whitner earlier this week said he thinks the Niners have a better shot to win the Super Bowl with Purdy over Garoppolo. Now, I mean, Garoppolo's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to multiple NFC Championship games. He's won an NFC Championship game. They've minimized him along the way. They did throw 37 times last week with Purdy. I don't know what to make of that, Ray. I mean, I want to get your thoughts on that. By the way, the betting markets as of this week have the 49ers as the fifth most popular team to win the Super Bowl, and the odds have not shifted dramatically. As at least you would think they would, going from, you know, a second quarterback to a third quarterback. They haven't. What's your read?
Because San Francisco is close to Vegas, where the odds get made, there's always a lot of people betting the 49ers because they're a public team.
Right.
So I don't make anything of that. They've always been a public team. I mean, this year, going into the NBA season, the Lakers were the betting favorite. Not because they're any good, but because so many people in L.A. drive to Vegas and bet their favorite team. Most people bet their favorite team, you know, in preseason. They'll keep betting them. And there's no reason to not bet the 49ers now. I mean, they're 8-4.
They give up like 15 points a game on defense.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, all the fascination with Brock Purdy, you know, tends to obscure the fact that this is a team that runs the ball and plays defense. That's what their strength is. And if you want to say they throw the ball more, well, Christian McCaffrey is this year's Swiss Army knife. You know, last year it was Deebo Samuel.
Throwing it to McCaffrey and Deebo underneath is almost the equivalent of the handoff.
Essentially, yeah. It's an offshoot of the old Bill Walsh, the way he used Roger Craig. That he would throw a bunch of short passes to him, and he basically said they're glorified runs. So I don't make a lot of the 37 passes. I don't. I think that's part of an incredibly small sample size against a not very good team. You know, and a team that, quite frankly, gave up the ball four times. I don't think that the 49ers will be the beneficiary of four turnovers on Sunday. I think it's going to be a tougher slog. And I think when it's a tougher slog, Kyle Shanahan tends to, you know, keep his cards closer to his vest. I don't think he has anything that he needs to prove with Brock Purdy or to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, you can stand this up any way you want. He's still their third choice at quarterback. And I don't know that we've ever seen Kyle Shanahan just go, ah, screw it. Let's just throw the ball 100 times, except that one time in New Orleans. I think he's figured out what his team is, and his team is the team he shows you every week. It's not the team that's going to throw 45 times. It's the team that's going to play ball control football with, you know, enough weapons that he can keep the ball all day if he wants to. So
is there a chance that when you break down the traits of Brock Purdy, that he's a better fit for Kyle's offense than Trey or than Jimmy? And I say that simply because it seems like Shanahan, you know, they're going to come out in a dizzying number of, you know, formations, and they're going to all kinds of personnel groupings and all kinds of wrinkles, and there's pre-snap shifts and motions, and it's a very he wants his quarterback to be cerebral and accurate and see the field and have the ball come out on time, most of those passes underneath, and take advantage of the run after the catch ability of his weapons. Isn't it possible that Brock Purdy may have a skill set that fits Shanahan's offense better than those guys and really didn't get a shot just because one guy they invested a ton of draft capital in, the other guy has been there, he's the established starter, and Brock's the seventh round pick?
It's possible, but it's not the way to bet. I mean, Brock Purdy is still the last guy picked in the draft until you see a body of work from him. And one game is not a body of work.
What is? How many games?
I would say four or five against differing kinds of opponents.
So what you're saying is then that this final stretch of the season, which I think, what, there's five games left, six games left, if the Niners went on some run here, that would be a good enough sample size to make an evaluation on as far as the future at the quarterback spot for the Niners and whatever role Purdy's going to play in it.
Yeah, I think what, you know, let's say he's good but not great. He's probably going to be the third quarterback next year. They're still invested in Lance. But the wild card is not where Purdy fits in. It's where Lance fits in v. Garoppolo. Because Garoppolo is still the guy who got him to this point. And Garoppolo is still the guy who's run this offense more often than anybody else. And they're still 8-4. And in the last, you know, 3+ years, they're a 625 football team. And no, Garoppolo isn't pretty, but he runs what Shanahan wants him to run. And when the only time he gets into trouble is when he gets a little goofy and decides, yeah, let's see if we can stretch the field a little bit.
He's kind of known for the hugely negative play.
But he's also, but that's
and
then
he's
because
resilient
people,
after it.
But that's what people want to focus on. What he really is, he's a safety first guy on a safety first offense. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has designed this offense to be that. And he's been here long enough so that when you see him do something over and over again, you can presume that that's what he wants. I mean, he took a wild gamble with Lance that so far hasn't paid off, and it may never. If people can get this excited about Brock Purdy based on not quite one full game, what it tells me is that people here are easily amused.
Well, there's a feel to the game that you can see from Purdy that comes through the TV set. But here's the thing. I haven't been in the Niner law. I've been doing the Niner pregame show for the last 10, 12 years. But because we operated mostly from the studio, I didn't really spend a lot of time during the week down there talking to the players. This year, I have. There's no concern from the players. Whether the mic's on, the camera's on. Whether the mic's not on, the camera's off. whether you're talking on the record, off the record, whether you're whispering in the corner of the room or shouting in the middle of the room. There's no feeling in there that Brock's overwhelmed or that this is too much for him or that the team in any way has taken any step back in their goal of winning the championship, which I think there would be if there was doubt in the room. And I think the players kind of know better than us, better than the coaches, better than the fans, like what they really have.
No,
I think
here's what they know.
Something. I think they feel like they have something.
Here's what they know. They know that their defense is the best part of them. And Brock Purdy doesn't affect their defense. They understand at the submolecular level that this team is going to win based on what its defense does. And the quarterback's job, whether it's Purdy or Garoppolo, is to keep them out of trouble. I don't think they look at Brock Purdy as a disaster, but I don't think they look at him as a difference maker either. I think he's the guy who's got that job on a team where the quarterback is not the most important guy. And it's a rarity in football, I grant you. But that's the case here. Brock Purdy's job is not to screw up. That doesn't make him like the center of the universe. Center of the universe is on the other side of the ball. You know, and it's not just Bosa, but it's the unit. I mean, that's why they win games. That's why they're only, you know, allowing two touchdowns a game. You know, this is a defensive team. And as much as people love to talk about the quarterback, that's not the thing that got them to 8-4.
No, I mean, it's totally true. Would you say, if I said you have to choose one or the other, Brock Purdy's closer to Nick Mullins or closer to a special quarterback that they just happened to find in the 7th round?
I'm going to duck it again because, again, we've only seen the one game against the team that gave the ball up 4 times. And was beaten by halftime. I need to see more because I don't have to be the first one to make that judgment. I know everybody else wants to be the first one to make
right,
that judgment.
Right.
You know, but you know, the whole idea of the quarterback in this system at this time, and I'm talking about the last 4 years, is don't kill us. That's how the 49ers
don't lose
their
the game.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Don't lose the game. To me, that doesn't make you the difference maker. The difference maker on the offensive side of the ball is Christian McCaffrey.
You know what? You said difference maker, and I thought, who's a true difference maker in San Francisco sports? You know what? How about Will Clark, the former Giant? And he's with us on the guest line. Will, thanks for a few minutes. Larry Kruger and Ray Ratto here. We appreciate your time. You're hanging out in New Orleans today, enjoying a little offseason?
I'm actually in Baton Rouge. That's where I live, and so just hanging out. And now that, you know, everything sort of settled in for the off season, just relaxing, enjoying it, and waiting for the holidays of Christmas.
Well, it's great to hear your voice, man. And, you know, let's talk a little bit, your thoughts on Aaron Judge. Judge came out today and said, hey, you know what, he didn't want to surrender his legacy. He didn't want to choose dollars over legacy. And he felt like staying with the Yankees was, you know, the best thing for his legacy. What was your read on the whole pursuit of Aaron Judge?
Well, I think that, you know, the Giants, you know, gave it a go. But, you know, to be totally honest and truthful, I mean, if the Yankees would have let Judge go after breaking that hallowed record that he broke this past year, it would have been a PR nightmare for them. So, you know, even though Judge came out there to California, even though he's from Linden and all that sort of stuff, I really did not see him leaving New York. And, you know, he signed a nice contract, and he's going to stay a Yankee.
I don't know how much time you sort of lock into free agency in baseball, but when you were playing and those opportunities came up, what were the things you were looking for? Money, the team you're going to? How did you prioritize the things that you looked for in a place to go?
Well, Ray, I wanted to make sure that wherever I went, I had a possibility to win. You know, as you well know, and as Larry knows, I mean, over the course of a baseball season, you know, if you're winning, it makes for a lot of fun. It makes for a fast and really, really happy season. If you're losing, it is the pits. And, you know, so as far as you know, my free agency and stuff like that, I prioritize winning over anything else.
Why is it, you think, Will, that the Giants have had a hard time attracting free agent hitters? Do you think hitters are look at the numbers and are afraid to hit at Oracle Park? Or what do you make of it? They have not been able to find themselves a free agent hitter of note and attract them to come here.
Yeah, you know what, Larry? I mean, I don't know. You know, for me personally, and Ray knows this, I mean, you know, playing at Candlestick, it was a madhouse playing over there. But you had to become a better hitter in order to hit there. And it's the same thing at Oracle. I mean, you know, you have to be a better hitter because there are certain nights where you hit ball in the air and you're not gonna have anything going up in the air. And so you have to become a better hitter. You have to work at your craft. And, you know, as far as the Giants are going, you know, I get what Farhan's doing. You know, I mean, he's trying to go out there and he's trying to, you know, get a name player and getting for, you know, a fairly decent price. But then on top of that, he's also trying to find, you know, lightning in a bottle. I mean, a perfect example would be like, you know, Mitch Haniger. You know, Mitch has a lot of power. He's had some health issues as of late. And some of the stuff is, you know, that he's had problems with is freaky. But at the same time, if you can get him out on the field and he can put together a really solid year, you know, that's what Farhan's looking at doing is you know, finding lightning in a bottle.
I don't know how much you pay attention to the hot stove market every year, but as you look at this year, if this is a fair question, what's the most interesting signing in your mind?
You know what, Ray? To be totally honest, I really don't follow the hot stove as probably much as I should. My big thing that I follow, and it's because, you know, I'm so involved in the organization, is I follow who, you know, we're picking up Rule 5 or we're losing Rule 5. And we lost, you know, 8 minor leaguers this last week, and 3 of them I was really high on. So, you know, it's just part of the game. So that's kind of what I pay attention to. I pay attention to our own organization. And as far as the hot stove type of stuff, you know, I'll leave that to the guys that, you know, that's their job, and that's what they get paid for, is to follow that stuff.
Well, toward that end, did you guys lose so many guys that you're in significantly worse shape in the minor leagues than you thought you'd be? Were you expecting to lose as many players as you did?
I was not expecting to lose this many players, but basically these guys had to have a spot on the AAA roster, and if they didn't have a spot, then they would be opened up to you know, Rule 5 draft or, you know, free agency where somebody else could come get them. And you know, like I said, there were 3 guys that I was really high on that were in AA and high A ball, and we wound up losing them. But you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast. But then, you know, they protected, you know, Marco Luciano and Luis Matos and people like that. So they did protect some of our, you know, top prospects. And on top of that, to answer the second part of your question, our minor league system has really been coming on strong the last few years, and we still have a lot of talent in our minor league system. And that's one thing, you know, if I gotta give Farhan a heads up, is, hey, don't be afraid to promote from within, because we have a lot of talent coming up. You don't have to go outside our organization to find talent.
Armani Smith was a name that I had seen that I thought, you know, kind of highly of. What's your thought on Carlos Correa? It sounds like the Giants are all in on Correa, Will. John Paul Morosi says the Giants met with his representatives this week. They're saying they may go 10 years, 11 years. I mean, that's a long time. But what do you think of Correa as a player? What do you think of a 10 or 11-year commitment to a free agent?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's kind of the way the sport's going now. But, you know, for me personally, and Ray knows this because he followed, you know, when we were coming up and stuff, you know, I was not a big fan of anything over 5 years. So, you know, I mean, you know, there's too much that can happen in a 10-year span of time, much less 5. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of these long, drawn-out, you know, 10-year contracts. You know, the other part of that question is, you know, as far as Correa. Correa is a great player, don't get me wrong. And, you know, he's got a lot of good years ahead of him. But then we also got, you know, Brandon Crawford, who's, you know, a consummate gold glover. And, you know, I know Brandon. I know him extremely well. And he wants to bounce back, you know, from his offensive season this last year and, you know, prove that he still has it too as well. So, you know, if, you know, they do go out and sign Correa, well, then what's Crawford got to do? He's got to suck it up and go to third base. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting next few weeks and see where this organization goes.
You sort of brought up where I thought I wanted to go here, which is, what do you do with Brandon Crawford? Is third base the only place that he can go? Is he a credible everyday designated hitter? I mean, what? I mean, you're not going to, you know, you're certainly not going to cut him or trade him. No. What do they do with him if they decide to land Correa? And how much do you think Crawford's place on the roster affects how hard the Giants go after Correa?
You know what? So this would be my theory behind that, Ray, would be, you know, if they do go after Correa, all right, not only does, you know, you got to have a talk with Crawford about playing third, because you cannot waste him. You can't put him as a DH. Peterson's going to be DHing, and some of the other guys that are on the bench are going to be DHing. So, you know, Crawford's going to want to play every day. He's an everyday guy. So, you know, you got to talk to him about playing third and maybe even shortstop. Second base. You know, maybe get a look, a little different look from the other side of the diamond. Another thing, too, is if you're going to go after Correa, talk to him about maybe playing a little third and flip-flop back and forth, you know. Crawford played two games at short, Correa two games at third, and then flip-flop. You know, so there's a way to keep both of those guys in the lineup at the same time.
You know, Will, I know you referenced, you know, that you'd be looking to win if you were a free agent. What is the Giants' pitch right now? They were a 500 team this year. There's probably a lot of skepticism whether they're going to win in 2023. What do you think's their pitch, or what would be your pitch if you were pitching to free agents for them?
Well, I mean, you know, the bottom line of baseball is pitching and defense wins games. That's the bottom line. And, you know, if you look at the Giants, you know, that was the backbone of our three world championship teams, was pitching and defense. And on top of that, you know, we're a year removed from 107 wins. So, you know, the pedigree is there. We just need to get to go out on the field and execute. And, you know, we had quite a bit, as you guys well know, we had quite a bit of injuries to the pitching staff. But that's the one thing about San Francisco that is attractive if you're on the free agent market is, hey, look, I can go there and I can lower my ERA. I got good defense behind me, you know, and you've got a possibility to win quite a few ball games. I mean, look at a Carlos Rondon. Look what he did. You know, that's just one way to look at it. But then, you know, on top of that is just the fact that if you throw up a bunch of zeros on the board as far as pitching and defense-wise, I'll find a way to score a run for you. And that's what the Giants have done in the past, and that should be where they're going in the future.
Couple last ones for you, Will, before we let you go, and we do appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for stopping by. Give me one hitter in the minors right now that if Farhan called you and said, Will, give me one guy that you're so excited about that you would just not want to trade. Who's at the top of that list? Is there one hitter? You know, I think you know as much about hitting as anybody. Is there one hitter that you really like?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, it's a gentleman by the name of Vaughn Brown. We got him in the 10th round out of, I want to say, Central Florida, South Florida, one of them. And big kid, 6'2", 6'3", can flat out fly, plays the game the right way, is a leader in the clubhouse. He went from low A to high A to double A last year and really kind of, like, opened up a bunch of eyes. I saw Vaughn three times last year, and I was very, very happy at what I saw. So that would be number one. Number two, if I give you a little dark horse, is a gentleman by the name of Casey Schmidt. Casey, he had a decent year at San Jose a few years ago, and then last year he had a breakout year in high A and then wound up in double A. He is a gold glove third baseman right now, without a shadow of a doubt. This boy can flat out pick it, and he's starting to come around as far as offensively. So those are two prospects right there from the offensive side that the Giants do need to pay attention to.
We're talking to Will Clark, former Giant great, and Will was out here for the 22 retirement the ceremony this summer. I thought your speech, man, was just awesome, and I think all Giants fans felt that way. It was maybe the highlight of the season, and that speaks a little bit about what that season was like as well. But it was an incredible night, and congratulations on that. But I got to ask you about 94, because you had a 93 was a great Giant team. They won 103. It wasn't your best year, but you got really hot and helped carry the team down the stretch. And then you signed with the Rangers. I was wondering what you remember about that winter's negotiations, and how tough was it for you to leave the Bay Area, your only Bay Area home? They drafted you out of Mississippi State. How difficult was it for you to depart?
Yeah, it was really tough. Basically, the whole season during 93, I was trying to sign an extension. And, I told the Giants, that, hey, look, I'll take a lot less money to give me tenure. If you give me 4 or 5 years, I'll take a lot less money because I wanted to go out as a Giant. And I was basically told, you need to check the free agent market. And so, kind of the writing was on the wall. When I did have some offers, I had a 5-year deal from Baltimore, and I also had a 5-year deal from Texas. And I went back to the Giants, and I asked them again about, stepping up, and they would only give me 2 years, and they wouldn't pay anything out of the ordinary. And so they kind of forced my hand. So, you pick up the pieces, you move on, you understand that baseball is a business. And, you guys see it now. I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about free agents and rule fives and all that. Baseball is a business. And the loyalty end of things sometimes goes out the window. Matter of fact, not sometimes, a lot of times it goes out the window. But, it's just the fact that it took me a few years, but I was able to come back to the Giants in 2008, and I will never leave now.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, I think a lot of Giants fans are thrilled that you're a part of the organization. I know you've had an impact on Brandon Belt. You think Belt comes back for another year, or do you think he moves on in free agency?
That is the $10 question right now. I mean, I love Brandon to death. Don't get me wrong. He plays the same position I do. But Brandon has not put together a full year of playing baseball in a very long time. And, to spend, what they did last year, which is $19 million on Brandon, and not get a full season out of him, you might have to look elsewhere.
Last one I got for you, Will, and we really do appreciate your time. Mad Dog Russo was talking about the Giants, and his whole take from the winter meetings was, man, the Giants did something really dangerous. They flirted with Aaron Judge. They teased their fans, and they did it after a year where attendance was down dramatically, and the team had to really rally in September to finish 500. And he kind of viewed it as a risky move. What would you say to Giants fans right now who are frustrated? They're frustrated with the leadership. They're frustrated with the way the offseason's gone. They're frustrated they didn't get Aaron Judge. You're a little bit more privy to the internal workings of the organization. What would you say to try to lift them up?
The one thing about baseball, and people try to do this all the time. You guys do it, and a lot of the fans do it. They look at it from numbers standpoint and stats and all that sort of stuff. The only way you figure out baseball is when you go out there on the field and you do it and you prove it. And the big problem that major league teams have, and it's because of the grind, is injuries. And if we can keep our pitching staff healthy, playing in Oracle Ballpark, we're going to be fine. And that's my message to the fans, the Giants fans out there. We keep everybody healthy, we'll be fine. I promise you.
Hey, Will, happy holidays to you and the family. Thanks for jumping on with me and Ray today on short notice. I really appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Larry, I appreciate it. Ray, you have a nice trip.
You too.
There we go. Will Clark, former Giant great, stopping by. A lot of interesting stuff there. We are presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking and no compromises. All right, we got more straight ahead. We're going to continue on here. What'd you think? It was some interesting stuff there from Will. What do you remember about Will's departure? Because I kind of felt like Will was the alpha in the Giants clubhouse until 93, Ray. They brought in Bonds. I think Bonds sort of became the alpha. I think Will seemed uncomfortable that year. He may have been in a little slight in decline. He didn't have a great year, but he had a great September. And then Giants fans didn't want to see him leaving free agency, but the Giants prioritized Robbie Thompson over Will, re-signed Robbie, and let Will go to Texas. What were your recollections of it back in the day? Because I know you were covering the Giants as a beat writer that year?
No, not that year. I'd already moved on. But I thought him leaving was sort of a fait accompli because they never showed a ton of interest in bringing him back, for a long stretch. And I knew of at least three teams that would go 4 years for him, and the two that he mentioned who would go five. And he would have been a fool to stay as much as he wanted to. You don't leave that many years and that much money on the table. I don't know how much him not being the alpha in the clubhouse mattered. And I don't believe he run his course. He still could have been a useful player here, but he said it himself. It's a business. And the business told him it's time to move. And he ultimately did because the Giants didn't want to commit long-term to him. He was, now on the backside of 30. I don't even know that it was a matter of him or Thompson. I think they viewed him as a guy who's, it's going to be two more years with him. He doesn't look like a guy who's going to make a, last till he's 35 or 36. And they made a hard choice, and I think they made it fairly early.
The Giants have had, I started watching the Giants in the mid-70s. Grew up in the Sunset. Dad took me out there like 74, 75. They basically always had a star. Willie Mack, Jack Clark, Chili Davis, the Hackman. And some of those stars were not epic stars, but they had a headliner. Then in 85, Will, then Matt Williams, Kevin Mitchell came over in 87, in July of 87. Bonds in 93. They rode that into, almost into Lincecum and into Buster Posey. How much do you think the baseball fan in Northern California who, supports the Giants, how much do they need a star attraction? Or is that a media creation and it's really, people will just, they just want a winner. And as long as they win, it doesn't matter if they're a bunch of no names or if there's somebody with, a brand name.
They do like stars, but
does that mean we're not a sophisticated baseball market that we need a star?
No, it means that you want what you want, but the Giants did not have stars in 2010. They became stars having won.
Posey. They had Posey.
But Posey wasn't a star yet. He was a good catcher, but, he wasn't, let's go to the ballpark and see Buster Posey.
He wasn't gate attraction, yeah.
No. The fact is, baseball crowds, and this is not just San Francisco, but everywhere, they're slow to warm up to you and they're slow to cool. It took a while for the Giants to catch on in 2010. And it was simply because nobody quite believed in them yet. They seemed like, sort of this weird kind of pitching and defense centric island of misfit toys. And then Sabian made the trade deadline deals that got them Burrell and
Cody Ross, and which was actually a block, right? Weren't they trying to block Cody from going to the pods?
Essentially,
the irony of that, he became the NLCS MVP.
But they all turned out to be really helpful down the stretch.
Yeah.
And that's when stars get made. Nobody thought Marco Scudero was a big deal.
Right.
And then he catches that pop-up in the rain, and now he's like part of the lore. It's, you can make noise with stars, but there's nothing worse than having a star who doesn't deliver what you think he's going to deliver. And by that, I mean a parade, because that's where the bar is set for these guys now. Even last year when they won 107, they didn't draw that great for a Giants team. And part of that was COVID, absolutely. But part of it was, Who do you glom onto? Now, this year, you know, had they started off well and stayed going well, they'd have gotten a lot of those crowds back. But, you know, they hit that dead spot in May, and people went, oh, they're not going to be the same thing again. And Giant fans are, like most baseball fans in most markets, notorious front runners. They won't go to the park and boo you. They'll just not go to the park. And you saw that as time went on. This was a, you know, they lost about 800,000 in attendance. They had, I think, like their second worst crowd ever at a game this year. If you can't win, you'd better have a star. But Bill Veeck said this a long time ago. You win without a star.
Great promoter with the White Sox,
yeah,
for years.
You can win without a star and you'll draw X. If you win with a star, you'll draw 2X. But you have to win first, because a star that doesn't help you win stops being a star. He becomes a disappointment.
I didn't hear your show after Judge, you know, didn't basically said no to the Giants. What was your take on that? I mean, do you think that he ever really wanted to come to the Giants, or do you think he just kind of leveraged them and used them to get $150 million more out of the Yankees?
I think they ran an educated gamble that the Yankees were only going to be motivated when somebody else motivated them. And that's sort of what happened. I mean, the Giants were going to have to come in so far over the top that the Yankees would have to walk away. And let's say, hypothetically, if they'd come in at 10 years and $40 million,
right,
I think the Yankees walk away from that. But I think the Giants thought that 360 would be enough, because the Yankees' original offer at the beginning of the year...
315?
Yeah. So I think the Giants thought, oh, this will be plenty good to get him.
So you think he was serious about coming here?
No.
No, you don't.
I think he had a clear preference from the start. If the Giants had the best offer by a significant margin, he'd have...
Do you think if the Giants came strong earlier with 10 years, $400 million, would they have gotten him?
No, because they were going to let the process play out to see how close to $400 million the Yankees were going to go. I mean, don't forget, the Padres...
Was that wise, though? Shouldn't they have known that they would have to dramatically outbid the Yankees and they would almost need to blow a judge's representatives out of the water with an offer that was so huge?
But you don't know what will blow them out of the water. Don't forget the Barry Zito deal, where they overpaid by $46 million over his next best offer, which was from the Mets. And they kicked themselves often about that. I think they thought 360 was going to be the best bid. I think they might have maybe underestimated, you know, how significantly the Yankees wanted to keep Judge. Or I think they overinflated the notion that Judge might be unhappy in New York. Ultimately, I think they made the best bid they thought could get them. But I think when the Yankees came back and said, now we can do 360, I think they ended up holding the short end of the bag. And the other tip-off, when the Padres came in at 400, Judge's people didn't even snap at it. So maybe $400 million doesn't get it done either.
No, it's a good question. Next segment, first of all, we're going to talk a little Warriors. Steve Kerr is going to join us in about an hour. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Up next, I want to get into a question on the free agent thing on the baseball front. So far, the Giants have gotten blown off. Xander Bogaerts, they lost him to the Padres. Nemo, they lost to the Mets. Kenley Jansen, they had interest in. They lost him to the Red Sox. They lost Judge to the Yankees. They lost Bellinger to the Cubs. Are the Giants losing these free agent pursuits? What is the number one reason for it? Is it the ballpark, the dimensions? Is it San Francisco politics? Is it Kapler? Is it the roster? Is it the lack of the perception that they're not a contender? I want to get Ray's thoughts? Is it me?
Yeah.
Is it me possibly
fed up with
overwhelming
you.
Negativity that has surrounded this team? No, but 888-957-9570. If you're a Giants fan, what do you, the Giants have been shut out so far for the most part. Why? Why have they been shut out outside of Mitch Haniger? What is the number one reason? Is it Kapler? Is it the roster? What is it? 1-888-957-9570 on 95.7 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.